Morning. Ryan and the baby are at home, hopefully resting. We thought that since it was so cold and icy, it's probably just better that they stayed home. So, in case you were wondering where they are this morning, that's where they are. This morning I'm going to talk about prayer. It's a topic that I've spoken about before, and many other people have spoken about, but it's something that's always good to refer back to, because it is such an important part of our spiritual lives. Prayer is a powerful thing, and an amazing gift, and a way that we can actually reach out and talk to our Creator, our Savior, and have the opportunity to have our voice heard. We can voice our fears, hopes, and praise. And our prayer life is something that we should feel comfortable enough that it is an integral part of our daily lives, yet also hold in reverence. Something that is simple for us to do, and something that requires a proper state of mind. A balance that makes it difficult to not take prayer for granted. Psalm 96, verses 8 through 9. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. We are to worship our God, and one act of our worship is prayer. In just the act of praying, we acknowledge some of the core principles of what we believe. When we pray, we acknowledge that there is a God, that we need God, that God hears prayer, that God answers prayer, that God loves man, that prayer is powerful, and that there is power in prayer because of the power of God. Ephesians 3, verse 20 says, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Prayer must be accompanied with action. A farmer might pray for a good crop, but he also has to get out and work the fields in order to produce that crop. It is up to God to provide the increase in the growing of the crop itself, but God will not fertilize the crop or keep the weeds away. God will not protect it from being eaten by animals. It is the farmer's responsibility to be a good steward, and the Lord will be able to do His work. The farmer must listen to God and seek out His response. Otherwise, there should be no reason that he expects God to listen to him. Luke 6 and 46, Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it, for it had been well built." Our prayer life can be said to be as a footing for our foundation. The foundation of our faith. If a house is built on a foundation with no footings, then the foundation can shift and crack, causing a multitude of problems for the house. Even if this seems like the ground is washing away beneath the foundation that has good footing, it will not move. We know that we want to be praying in an acceptable way, and that it is the very thing that led the Lord's disciples to request, "Lord, teach us to pray," in Luke 11 and 1. That being said, I believe it is good for us to have a desire for our prayers to be conducted in a manner pleasing to God, and we also need to be aware that God is not just attentive to the words of our prayers, but He is also aware of the attitude that prompts them. Sincerity. Most certainly, sincerity is a basic prime prerequisite to a successful prayer. Matthew 6 and 5 says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you go to pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." This is not saying for us to keep our faith a secret, but that it's telling us that the intent of our prayer is important. Our prayer should not be a spectacle. It would be like if we went out to eat and instead of simply bowing our heads in prayer, if we were to lift our arms straight up in the air and speak loudly enough that the entire restaurant could hear us, just to make them aware of the fact that we're praying. This principle of praying with sincerity, I believe, comes naturally to us because we have been taught well. If one does not know, and all they know is to be flamboyant, then they will continue in that way. So it is important for us to teach the proper principles of a good prayer. Prayer is no doubt a part of our worship, and insincerity in worship is soundly denounced in Matthew 15, verses 7 through 9. "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people dishonors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" Humility. To impress on the hearts and minds of his disciples the need for humility in prayer, Jesus related to them the parable concerning the Pharisee and the tax collector. Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. "He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I get.' But the tax collector, standing far off, would not lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." Notice the phrase, "standing far off." He was humble enough not only to beat his breast and to not look toward heaven, but he stood far enough away because he felt like he was unworthy of being close. The Pharisee was filled with pride, self-exaltation, and self-righteousness. He acted as though the Lord owed him for his sacrifice of himself. The tax collector, on the other hand, knew his spiritual depravity and knew that he needed God's help. James 4, verses 5 and 6, and then in 10. "Or do you suppose that it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, 'He yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.' And in verse 10 says, 'Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you.'" Proverbs 29 and 23. "One's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor." Humility is necessary for effective prayer. Fervency. We must be intense in our spirit, intense in our prayer lives, so that we are not half-hearted or lethargic, so that we are not counted as lukewarm. James 5, verses 16 through 18. "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The power of a righteous person has great power at its working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it may not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Colossians 4 and 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Fervently comes from the word agonizome. I don't know if I pronounced that right, but it's probably close enough. And this is the word where we get our English word agonize. If we are to have zeal and intensity in prayer, which will come naturally if you're praying for something that you believe in, something that means a great deal to you. Persistency. Luke 11, verses 5 through 8. And he said to them, which of you has a friend will go down to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey. I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me, the door is now shut, and my children are in bed. I cannot give up and give you anything. I tell you that though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. This parable is not intended to imply that God is reluctant in heeding our prayer. The reluctance of the neighbor was real. The reluctance of God is seeming. The fact that God is willing to answer our prayers should be motivation enough to be persistent in our prayer life. Persistency in prayer is also taught in Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. There was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Watchfulness. Watchfulness and prayer go together and virtually cannot be separated. Mark 13 and 33, be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. Mark 14 and 38, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Luke 21 and 36, but stay awake at all times, praying that you might have strength to escape all the things that are going to take place, and stand before the Son of Man. Colossians 4 and 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. To be watchful is prudent. It just makes sense. When we are at work, we keep watchful of the things around us so that we are not hurt. When we grow up, we are taught and we teach our children to be watchful of other kids or cars or strangers, to be mindful of their surroundings so that they are not hurt, lost, or taken away. These principles are the same in our prayer life so that we can be watchful of the needs of others, so we can pray for them even when they don't ask for it, or so that we are protecting our faith so that we are not lost or taken away. 1 Peter 5 and 8 through 9. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by the brotherhood throughout the world. We need to be, like the widow, constantly praying for deliverance from our adversary. Because make no mistake, he is watchful, and he is watchful for your weakest moments, and he knows how to entice you into sin. One who is watchful concerning the devil is alert to his need for God's strength, and through prayer he will successfully withstand temptation. Thoughtfulness. 1 Corinthians 14 and 15. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray also with my mind. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? It is important to us, when we pray out loud to an audience, that we pray in a way that is understandable, that the things we say have weight, that they mean something. Whether in public or in private, we are not to set forth meaningless words, especially in prayer. Matthew 6 and 7 through 8. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. The Father is not condemning repetition, but vain repetition. We must give thought to the words that we express in prayer. Godly living. Prayer is not a substitute for a Christian's responsibility to serve God, but is a reinforcement of his worthy endeavors. 1 John 3:21 and 22 says, Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. Proverbs 15 and 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous. We must understand that when we are obedient, that God doesn't owe us an answer to our prayers, but we receive God's answer by grace. At the same token, we must be obedient if we would like our prayer to be answered. John 15 and 7 says, If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is different than some doctrines will teach you that if you only pray, you will receive. They don't put any emphasis on the godly living afterward. Yet we see here that it is clearly connected. Self-denial. Matthew 16 and 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. These words of Jesus affirm in that living with him, his disciples must deny the things in their life that are contrary to the teachings of God. Also, at times we may need to deny things that we want for the righteous cause of Christ. For example, we may deny ourselves sleep because we stayed up in prayer with someone who needed it. We may forsake going to a movie or a game or some plans that we may have had with friends because an important spiritual matter came up. You might also notice that fasting is associated with prayer. I'm not going to get too deep into that because I'm still not sure for myself what exactly fasting would mean. I haven't decided if I would actually do that with food or with just with other things. But if you want those verses, they're Acts 13 and 3, Acts 14 and 23, Luke 2 and 37. We also must pray in accordance with God's will. 1 John 5:14 and 15. And this is the confidence we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have requests that we asked of Him. Prayer cannot be forceful unless it brings the human into union with the divine will. We do not pray in order to change God's will, but to bring our will to God's. We need to realize that it is just as possible to pray wrongly as it is to teach wrongly or to sing something that is incorrect. These things we do not do intentionally, but it is easy to do if we do not understand. We cannot pray for things that are contrary to the will and teachings of God and expect that answer to be prayed in the way that we ask. We are also to pray in the name of Christ. 1 John 14:13-14. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And virtually the same thing is repeated just a few chapters later in 16:23. To ask a prayer in Jesus' name is not simply repeating His name. We pray by His authority, understanding that He intercedes for us. We are to pray by faith. Matthew 21:22. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. James 1:6-7. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in his ways. We must truthfully believe that the Father hears and answers our prayers. If we are going to have a successful prayer life, we must pray with sincerity, humility, fervency, persistency, watchfulness, thoughtfulness, godly living, a life of self-denial in accordance with God's will, and in the name of Jesus with faith. If you feel that your prayer life needs attention, or if there's anything that we can do to pray for you, please let that be known. But remember that we need to adjust our mindset to God's and not pray for God's will to bend to ours. Thank you.